Greetings, pals!
Greetings, pals!
Hey, pals.
Welcome to the podcast, Around the Power. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Tom.
Today we're talking about The Fast and the Furious.
Yes, we are, fam.
The whole series.
Family.
No,
family.
The first film, 2001.
Oh, shit. Marcus, you did all that research for nothing.
This is the podcast, Around the Power. We debate movies, love it or hate it. We debate it. Wait. Is that the catchphrase?
That was it.
We debate it, love it, hate it, we debate it.
No.
Is it the bookend?
Nah, you stuffed it.
Oh my gosh.
You had it.
Does anyone else want to jump in?
Are you broken? No.
Are you good, man?
You never let us jump in before. Yeah. We're programmed. Go.
We're talking about Fast and the Furious.
Hey, we rate these out of 11. Why do we do that, Tom?
God, we're into that already?
Including Hobbs and Shaw, there are 11 films in the series.
I love it when he does a shit one. I love it. Just like shit canned it.
But I tend to do that when it's one where I couldn't give a shit about it. And so I was
whoa. Don't give away the ending.
Yeah, 30 seconds ahead of you all. Like,
this is going to be wild.
Shout your name if you like this movie.
Marcus.
Frank. Oh, boo. Thomas is like cars.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Thomas is so lame.
Okay, quickly. It's directed by Rob Cohen.
Yeah.
It's based on Racer X, the magazine short story.
Sure.
You'd say?
I believe you.
Or is it based on Need for Speed Underground 2? It might be based on Need for Speed Underground 2.
No, I think it was based on the story that was in Vice.
It's obviously a joke.
Well, you just sound dumb.
Yeah, we're just trying to correct you.
Need for Speed Most Wanted. I know video games. It was based on Borderlands 2.
Frank tries to enter a video game conversation.
I think cars were based on this movie, actually.
It was based off Mario Kart.
Give us your numbers then.
You bastards. I'm going to give this a 7.8.
Wow. 7.8. I'll jump in. I'll give it a 6.5. Pretty good. I enjoy it.
Four.
Now, before we get into it.
Ooh. Fast 4 and Furious 4.
The
no?
boys,
is that one of them?
The boys, in conversation with prepping for this one, they're like, hey, who's seen all of these? And we all went quiet. And I was like, well, I think in the room, I guess I've seen the most. And then I think, I swear someone said, well, someone may as well watch all so we have a point of reference.
That was you.
I don't think I did.
And someone's going to have to
and
watch
if
them
I
all.
Did,
yeah. And then you dusted your hands and walked out of the room.
If I did, I'm mad at myself.
And we didn't see you for a week.
There is no world in which I was like, well, Marcus, you got to do your research.
Hold on, just quickly. Oh, Tom, no. How many have you seen?
Yeah.
This is it. This is the only one.
Frank, how many have you seen? I've seen 3.
Okay.
Good. Marcus?
I've seen 11.
Sorry.
Including Hobbs. You watched Hobbs and Shaw? Or did you watch this one 11 times?
No.
Because that's a bad time.
I've definitely seen
this one 11 times or more.
Wow.
I have seen all 11 films.
That's insane. Very impressive.
You sound so
how
excited.
How is your soul?
Help.
Okay. Because I watched.
Get
I watched
mom.
A.
Get mom.
Get mom. I watched an essay the other day that was like the first three are kind of the same film in different scenarios. You've got Tokyo Drift is the same story, but in Tokyo, but with no Japanese people. The second one is the same story.
No.
In somewhere else. Oh, no. It was with black people, which is the introduction that was like, whoa.
Yeah, it.
Oh. Which is you know,
okay.
Great.
We have to see. We have to
and
spend this whole pod talking
fast
about the first
four,
film.
Five,
yeah,
six, seven, eight, nine, ten, and they get large from there.
I would argue 1 and 3 are watchable and enjoyable. Number two,
Too Fast, Too Furious.
I hate Too Fast, Too Furious. It's just. I can't even remember his name. No. Our main guy,
Paul Walker,
Vin Diesel. Blanked. Sorry,
Paul Walker. Mm.
Just being a fish out of water, like he's trying to be a different race for a whole film, and it's uncomfortable.
Oh, he's acting like a black guy in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an uncomfortable watch.
Paul Walker's such a strange dude.
Well, he's trying to act like a human being in this movie, and I don't think he quite makes it.
I kind of like him in this.
Nah,
I kind of like him in this. I don't know.
It grows on you, I think, as it
his
goes
voice,
on.
Like a tumor.
His eyeballs and his voice.
At the start of the film when he does this. So it's like this, right?
Oh, no.
So check it out.
It's like this.
It's like this. Yeah.
Mm.
If you win.
So that line is the whole second film.
He just decides, man, I kind of nailed that. Yeah.
Have you guys seen, there's so many sidebars. Have you seen the TikTok of the guys who use Fast and Furious dialogue in real life?
No. Yes.
Hey, yes, man, is this what you're riding? Yeah, nice. What's under the hood there? Yeah, cool, bro. It's not how you, it's not how you race it. It's how you stand by it.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not how you stand next to it. It's how you race. And then he says that, like, think about it. And Paul Walker's like, I will think about that.
It's
that
also
really
like,
insightful.
Yeah, this is a, it's a race. So, of course, it's not how you stand by
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute. I have to,
race this
guys,
car?
Guys, I am on my L's. Like, yeah. I'm not going to be able to. By the way, Michelle Rodriguez and Jordana Brewster did not have their driver's license when they made this movie.
No way. Not. Yeah. That's 0 out of 10.
Isn't that crazy?
Outrageous. Do they really drive, though?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone really drove in this movie.
Yes, they did.
Oh, did they?
Did a lot of their own driving. Paul Walker's a
Paul
very
Walker
good
definitely,
driver.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Okay.
Which is weird because Brian is not the best driver in the film. Vin Diesel's arguably better, faster, more furious.
I'm just going to say for the room now, before we get into this, really get into this,
yeah,
I have
it.
Given this a 7.8. I know that it's generally quite terrible. There's something about this film that I love. I'm not a rev head. I've never grown up with cars. Don't give a shit. When I was in high school, when this came out, didn't care so much. Just enjoyed the film for what it was. I wasn't like, fuck yeah, those cars, and just frothing on it. Like
2001?
Yes.
Maybe? So I was...
You were 12.
Grade 6, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the general population behind this film at the time were just, it was all about the cars. It was all about the fashion sense, the
that
neon,
whole culture, the
everything.
Street culture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Underground street racing.
I just didn't get that. I didn't care. But like, as
you
a
have
film,
that in Devonport,
yeah,
Tasmania,
I know,
where you're from.
I wasn't part of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely wasn't part
but
of it.
But to be
that.
Fair,
a lot of Mitsubishi Lancers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little younger than you. And yep. So Rag. When you would come and hang out with me when I was younger and you were my cool older cousin, and
Forced
you would
to,
show
yep.
me your Pokemon cards, and you go, okay, so yo, check it. And you would throw down the Pokemon cards. So, like, I think there was still some influence there, right?
Well, you guys always hang out because
you're
family.
I don't know if you're trying
family.
To embarrass me, but hey.
You did have the tips. That's the thing I remember.
I did have
you
the tips.
You had the tips. Those
tips.
Were those.
I did have the tips.
Yeah, just for a great. Second. Just
anyway,
a tip. Just to see how it feels.
This film, I want to score higher, but because of the trajectory that it takes, it is automatically being deducted. Nope.
You can't.
No.
No, because this film existed by itself.
It's tainted.
It's okay.
Tainted. Even as a standalone.
Do you know what's great about this film? I'll do a few things that
Holy
I love
shit.
About this
sure.
film. This is, you have to take away the weight of what it became. Vin Diesel isn't actually that bad in this movie. His voice is outrageous. I love his voice. I'm in your face. He's like
it's not even that. He doesn't even project. He's so quietly spoken and so
guttural.
Deep and resonant.
The racing is
and it
cool.
Works.
I think that when they go through the engine and show the NOS working.
Awesome.
Never seen that. That's kind of cool.
So great.
The aesthetic of the film is very stylized.
I'm Tom, smiling. I'm he's, not he's, saying, you guys.
He's smirking because
not,
he thinks it's silly. I can
I'm
see
telling
it straight
you
away.
To stop interrupting me.
Sorry.
Let me finish.
Sorry.
He's sitting quietly. You're trying to support me, but you're hurting me.
I was
trying to support
by
you.
The teacher.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to support you.
I know.
I'll be quiet.
Stop pulling faces at his cool story.
Yeah, it's a cool story.
Continue, Frank.
I think the cast they're very charismatic, and they're doing. You know, it's a very simple storyline. Undercover cop infiltrates the group. Gets into some hijinks, finds out that his new family are the bad guys. They're doing this job. And then the last climax, like the big fight job, is one truck. And the guy, what's his name?
Is it Leon?
Can I say something?
Yeah, it's Leon. Johnny,
this,
Johnny Strong by Leon. It's just hanging off this truck with the cable around his arm.
Yeah.
And it's so low key in terms of what we're in for. But when this first came out, it's an awesome action sequence.
Yep.
Awesome.
That sequence is great. I really like
it. The driving under the car at the start when you show that, all the stunt work is pretty awesome.
Better
and
than
so real.
Mad Max. Better than Fury Road. Joking. Yeah. Obviously. I just want to see what Tom did. can I say though, the story, as you described it, is Point Break.
Yeah.
Paul Walker came to Rob Cohen, or they came together.
They came at the same time.
And he said they came together. And he said he wanted to do something with street racing, but meets Donnie Brasco. So, yes, it's kind of got like...
What?
Well, you know, yeah. But like it's got that thing of like the undercover cop. And, yes, yeah, same with Point Break is doing that as well.
Donnie Brasco's a pool. I see it.
That was
that's
Paul
what
Walker's,
Paul Walker had said. Like that's his pitch.
It's Point Break. It's identical to Point Break.
Or blonde hair.
I mean, Point Break is a good movie.
Swayze.
So there's some differences,
it's,
I would say.
It's an undercover Surfing. Cop that infiltrates a cool like adrenaline-seeking group.
They are cool in Point Break.
To pull off heists.
Because they're in the water. The water is cool.
It's Point Break with cars.
There's no Ronald Reagan masks. Anyway, we digress.
I'd agree in the sense that Point Break has
they're like, very similar power.
No, but it has the thrilling action sequences. It has like the charismatic main guy. It has the stable cop that we follow right on the journey, and it has some very, very thrilling and well put together cinematography and editing. And then you have this movie. So like that's the contrast. Unfortunately,
you are so predictable.
Catherine, he's so cynical when he doesn't like something.
Well, Catherine Bigelow is a good filmmaker, and Rob Cohen isn't. I think is the big distinction. Rob Cohen, we should mention.
Yeah, let's
just briefly. Is a piece of shit. A very, very bad person. Like, actually. Like, a man who has sexually assaulted people, allegedly, and is essentially no longer in the industry.
Oh, he looks it.
Yeah, he's not not a cool guy.
I haven't seen him before.
That said, he made one movie that I was kind of obsessed with as a kid.
I know what it is.
Go on.
Stealth.
Nope.
Yeah, Jessica Biel, Jamie Foxx.
Yes, I know, and he's like, oh, it was.
I got you, I got you. You love stealth.
I got you,
nothing,
I got you.
You
nothing
never
beats,
had me.
Nothing
you
beats
didn't
a human
even
pilot.
Have your car.
Yeah, you see, guys, great lines, quotable.
No, because you guys just mashing quotes against each other. Yeah. To see what happens.
What film is this?
It was a mashup of awesome.
I was a bit obsessed with Triple X as a kid. I kind of watched that movie over and over again. I don't
That's
know if it would.
Weird. You're so
that.
Weird.
I don't know if it would hold up if I watched. Now,
no, it doesn't.
Son,
it
I,
does.
I watched it a lot.
It
it's great.
Samuel L. Jackson, which helps. But anyway, I do not think this is a good movie. I saw it partially as a kid, maybe in the background. I definitely never sat down and watched it, but there were certain scenes that played out when I watched it the other day that I was like, oh, I kind of remember that scene. Like, I kind of remember that. Mostly the actual drag races near the end of the film with... His name's not Mouse, but I'm going to call him Mouse from The Matrix.
It is Mouse.
I don't think it is, though, the actor.
Fuck off.
I'm pretty
it's
sure.
Jesse.
I'm pretty sure it's not actually Mouse from The Matrix, but
oh,
it looks.
No,
it looks,
it's not. No, it's not the same person.
Oh. I genuinely thought it was for most of the movie, and then I realized, no, it's not. But he looks like Mouse.
And it's the exact same character.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Except, well, it's a character in The Matrix, and in this, he's whatever. But, like, it's this.
I got that AD attention shit.
And then his dad, right? Because there's that story about his dad. It's really heartfelt, really well invested in the
That's
film.
That's Vin Diesel's dad.
No.
Oh, no,
like
sorry.
He loses the car that you remember he was going to drive with his dad when he got out of prison. Yeah. And we know that because they say it once. And then...
There's not a lot of motion.
Who gives a fuck?
The race war
right?
sequence is there's not a lot of weight to some
also,
of it.
Also, so dumb.
Why would you call it Race Wars?
that was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
That's why they
the
did.
The first time someone said, and we're having a race war in the desert, I was like, ooh boy.
That's why they made Too Fast and Furious and introduced some black people. They were like, we got to backtrack on that.
That was
bad.
So
it's also
funny.
The white dudes racing, is it the Chinese? Oh, it's the Japanese Yakuza gang type?
They probably are. They probably, yeah,
and that's
right,
what it is, because it's like all of
Yakuza-esque. I think that actor is Korean-American, the guy who plays Johnny Tran, and the only other thing I know him from is Die Another Day. He's one of the henchmen.
Oh,
the guy
henchman?
Who wins with the diamonds in his
face.
Yeah, that's him. He's Johnny Tran.
He's henchman.
Rick Yoon.
He's very handsome. He's got a good rig.
Huge rig.
He's
Look at the shoulders on him.
Got a
what
better,
are the measurements on those?
He's got a better presence in this movie.
Bigger or smaller than Chris Pine's
tell
hips?
Tell us about his hips.
Of course, his shoulders are going to be bigger than Chris Pine's hips. Everything is bigger than Chris Pine's hips.
Yeah. What a crazy question for you to ask, Marcus. You look like a fool right now. Anyway.
Yeah, you do. You know what? I'll stand by that. I feel good about talking about
Rick
measurements.
Rick Yuen has more presence in this movie than Paul Walker. I think Paul Walker is a bad actor, and I think this movie proves it because he acts bad in it. So... There you go.
Great argument. Thanks for your insight.
He's not great. There's,
what do you mean?
There's more grounded moments where he's being charming and, you know, they've got the date sequence with Jordana Brewster.
Is that in another movie? Is that in this movie?
No, it's in this movie.
Okay, I've missed that scene where he's charming.
Yeah, because you switched off and now you can't actually criticise this film because you haven't watched it properly. I'm convinced.
You didn't enjoy it, so you don't get to talk about
how
it.
Much you, yeah, how much attention just, did you pay?
I watched the whole fucking
what I'm
thing.
Hearing no, from you at language, the moment is you've done this before, and Frank does this a lot. This is a Frankism.
Mm-mm. I'm going to argue against this in a second.
You are dismissive of the remainder of the film because of the moment you checked out, that's it. It's
that's
done.
Not true, because the final chase or the second last action sequence with the truck was incredible. And I was like, I'm back. Great. This is cool. And then,
I see your point. I feel like a lot of the emotional drama doesn't land as well as they hoped it would.
How am I meant to be entertained by this movie on a scene-by-scene basis? Every time a new scene...
I don't know, pal. Just fucking
every
relax.
Every time a new scene happened, I was like, what is meant to be fun about this? I get that there's the sequence at the beginning that I think's okay when they're getting the truck. The best thing about it, as you mentioned, Frank, is the car going underneath the truck.
Yeah.
I think the whole, like, using the grappling hook and the, like...
I don't mean to be a stickler here, but when you see the truck in a wide shot, it is far too low to the ground. And when they do the sequence... It's jacked
suddenly
up.
It's up.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
There's also no need for the car to do that, but that is kind of one of my favorite things about the movie. No, it could just be...
The lane, also,
but yeah, they could just be further back.
But, no, but there's already a car there.
But how about I do this?
So there's already a car there.
And it's kind of kid logic of like, oh, no, but my car goes underneath the truck. And you're like, bah! And it's like, yeah, that's fun.
Because
I like dumb shit like that.
At times, though, and this is what they lean into as the film goes on, right? Just hear me out. As the franchise goes on, this is a kid playing with their action toys.
100%.
Right? And so you've got to just sort of accept the fact that a kid's going to, like, imagine the car's just going to fucking go underneath or do a flip and land on its wheels and all this other shit. Like, you just sort of have to buy into that.
Like it's a movie directed by a 9-year-old.
I got that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like it's Face Off or, you know, just
not
another
film. Not true. Face Off is different because Face Off embraces its silliness and has a consistent tone about
that. I would argue this takes itself very seriously.
Way too seriously. Yeah. This movie is so self-serious, and then when silly things happen in it, it jars.
But this film isn't that silly. We're looking at Fast Five and on, very silly.
But I mean the sequences, the first racing sequence is... atrociously silly, like in the aesthetic, in the actual like special effects, in the way that it's presented. And it's,
No.
You mean the
drag down the street?
The 100%.
The very first one.
No, I think it's great.
I think it's excellent. I think it's like something out of Speed Racer. Now, I like the Speed Racer movie.
Because you think Speed Racer is stylized and it's a choice where you think this is.
100%. They're trying to be cool. And they're like, this is going to get people fucking amped and pumping.
And it did.
And it's not cool.
In 2001,
but Tom,
it did.
Yeah. It doesn't. Then I'm okay with saying it's dated and it doesn't work. In the same way.
When you guys
look at the movies that I love, like The Godfather, and go, yeah, but that doesn't hold up now. I don't have that problem with it because I love it.
Lump Marcus into that conversation. I'll be mad.
Well, you,
just hear me out, though. The blur that they use when they're driving down the street, like as the street's flying by and it's all just blurred, right, is excellent.
I disagree.
It feels fast.
It does what other films have not attempted to do.
Somewhat even... Furious?
Other films have not attempted this yet. You've got, what's that film with Gene
Need
Hackman?
For Speed.
No, oh. The French Connection.
Sure.
So, you know, like...
Where they, like, actually put the camera on the hood and they're, like, doing basically a POV of the car
going
through. And thrilling.
It, you know, but this leans into the fact that Nos is pushing the limits and it's, like, it's blowing past, right? And everything that you're doing. And you see the car physically shaking and the adrenaline going through. And I think that's what it's doing. It's building that adrenaline.
I get no sense of any reality because it's a movie that nominally is taking place in the real world to some extent. I know you guys could argue like, well, they're street races and they're a bit like heightened and all that, but still it's like these are meant to be like urban, gritty criminals. Like people.
No, the only convincing person in that whole street race sequence is Ja Rule.
100%. Because he didn't know he was in a film. And when he yells, Monica! I lose my shit and I'm like,
okay, he's the most authentic person there.
If you win or lose, you get this one. But if you win, you get this one. To which I'd ask, how does that work? How logistically, what are we going to do? Do I only get access to one titty? How are you going to keep the other one away? And then she decides after he drives off, she's like, that's not going to work. I'm just not going to sleep with him if he loses because I can't work
out. She's got a chastity belt on one boob.
She doesn't mean one boob. She means her.
She says you get, if you win or lose, you get this one. But if you win, you get her sister too.
No, she's talking about
the
Monica
girl across
over
the street.
No,
she's talking about both her titties.
Being the dumbest person alive right now.
If that's true, then I missed that. But I prefer
she refers to the friend who then blows a kiss
and then
waves.
He says, while he's driving, he's like, yeah, menage blows or something.
That's funny.
He makes a threesome joke.
I prefer my read that
you
she's referring to her two titties.
Dumb.
But that's fine.
Gosh.
That's funny. I did miss that. Anyway, I think that sequence gives no actual heft as if it's
taken. Can I tell you what takes me out of it?
Go on.
It's LA. Where are all the cops?
Yeah, well, they have that. Well, Brian.
That is the largest crowd I've ever seen in a street. That is a street party, and there's no cops.
Yeah.
They wait for the scanner for an armed robbery, and they...
Yeah, but prior to that, they have no idea where the cops are. And prior to that, they're like, oh, we're good. It's one homicide every cop in town's going to the other side of town.
There
we're
are
good.
What, seven cops?
And also, go there. Also, sorry, all of these people are wanted. Like Toretto, Vin Diesel's walking down the street after this, after the bust has happened, and the cop drives past him and recognizes him. It's like he must be notorious.
Yeah. I think that's obviously silly. I think you could reason it or rationalize it with, well, Brian's told the cops not to bust them because he's got to get in with Dom, right? So he's like, no, you've got to let this race happen.
Then why chase them?
Because then it's like gives him the opportunity to pick Dom up and do that. You know, I'm fixing maybe this movie when it doesn't deserve it in some ways,
going.
Right? Oh, I don't think it makes it better. I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah, it does. Brian's planned it.
Dom Toretto is an all-time name. I kind of hear that and I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. Whoever wrote that and then saw Vin Diesel and was like, that's him, is great.
Gran is shifting, not double clutching like you should.
Here we go. This is my moment where I'm like, I cannot take this movie seriously. I think it's a farce. When he's like, I almost had you, man. And he's like, oh, yeah?
Almost had
well,
me?
You almost had me? Well, you forgot about your windshield wipers. Oh! And maybe next time you should make sure the door's all the way closed. Oh! Like, everything he says, the crowd loses their shit.
Yes,
when it's just extras, like the weakest
the
shit
extras
that he's
work
saying.
Is not good in this film. They're all like, ooh,
why is the buster here?
Because the buster kept me out of handcuffs. Actually a great line. I think he kind of nails that.
Yeah. That's one of the best lines of the film.
I agree.
He crushes that. And it's like, for all the BS and like stuff that you go, that's tacky, that's so dumb. Vin Diesel's good in this.
Most of the time, I actually do think so. I think he's got a suave menace to him that
and
suits the role.
How do we feel about
his armpit stains. Oof.
I relate to that.
They're I didn't bad. Notice that. Yeah, I didn't notice
so
that at all.
I noticed that immediately.
Really?
No, so no, I didn't. But if he's got
when
him,
he's in the garage and he's got his back to the camera and we haven't established who Dom is yet, we just see this balded head.
Yeah.
His armpit stains are drenched.
Really?
Like a bucket of water
didn't catch
under
it.
Each.
Nice.
Oh,
that's
man,
hilarious.
It's so nice. Funny.
That's realistic. It's sorry. Hot. You see how yellow that color grading is? It's hot there.
I wrote, first note, yellow piss filter, my favorite.
Wow, favorite.
Magic Mike.
It's obviously not as pronounced as it is in Magic Mike.
No, and it's bad, and it fades. Right? It goes away.
Were you going to say something about?
Yes, sorry, the Frank. Monologue that Dom does when he introduces Brian O'Connor to the muscle car
atrocious.
That was his dad's. I was going to ask.
I couldn't stop laughing.
Okay.
I think it's really bad. And I think it's the one moment in the film where his limitations come out because he's okay as this hulking, weird guy who almost looks like he's made of, like, you know, fucking diesel. Like, you know, he's like a part of a car.
Oh, wow.
So there's something there, right? He looks like some attachment. Like, he comes with the muscle cars. Like, he's just so defined by this world that he lives in. And yet when he goes, all right, here's my moment to emote. And he goes, how fast have you ever gotten in this car? He goes, I've never driven it. He goes, why not? And says, scares the shit out of me, man. And I went, oh, that was a good line. And that was a good delivery. It was very hushed. And then
stop
he's like,
there.
Now get ready for the story of my father's death. And when he said, I could hear his screams. They said he died instantly. The screams were me.
It was me.
I was like,
it was me who was screaming.
Wait, Tom, this will make you
so
mad.
Bad.
Get ready.
He's still alive.
The ninth film?
Yeah.
Is that story?
Is and it's like
it's the whole thing.
It's
you
a
go
prequel?
Back in time.
Back in time. And
do they
what?
Get a young actor to play him?
Yeah, they do. And guess what? He's perfect.
The young Dom.
He nails it vocally.
Wow.
He looks like it. I just went, that is top tier casting.
Wow.
To find a young Vin Diesel. Because I think
what does he sound like pre-puberty?
He sounds just a little
he sounds,
bit younger.
He sounds exactly the same, just a bit lighter on. Like it's not forced. It is so natural. I was blown away, and I got a point to this. I just completely lost it.
Go on.
I was thoroughly impressed by that. It was honestly insane to see that. It was the best part of that whole film. Number 9
dumb. Does that storyline in Fast 9?
Oh, it gives you everything. It gives you dad. It
do
gives you,
does it land
it
emotionally?
Brother. His brother's John Cena, by the way.
Who's his dad?
Good question. Unknown.
Unknown?
Yeah, okay. Some unknown.
Jeff Daniels?
You buy it.
No.
No, you buy it. You're kind of like, yeah, that kind of checks out.
Bruce Willis.
Young Dom is
I can keep going.
Really
we go
good.
Watch it. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, that was the point I wanted to say is when you see impressionists do, you know, your normal like Owen Wilson's and your what's
impressions?
The one? Yeah, Christopher Walken that you can do.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. You never hear someone do Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel's hard. is not an easy one to do. And it's not one of those ones where it's like, well, he doesn't really have a thing. He has a thing.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
incredibly difficult to mimic. Yeah. It's very singular.
Because you end up doing Stallone.
No one's, yeah, because it's so low and resonant. Yeah.
People can do Groot. But that's because that's like him saying one phrase and he's kind of doing the, I am Groot. And you can kind of modulate it to that. But to actually do Dom Toretto is very
impossible.
Difficult.
Yeah, I could never.
It's really tough.
I'm sure there's some people out there, but it's a tricky one.
Number nine's impressive to see that's it. And then they go to space in the same film.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it would have been fun. I wish that were this space movie. But this movie is, I do not think, has any real emotional impact or anything that works on that level. So I'm like, well, I'm watching this film for the thrills, right? And even as someone who's not a rev head, you brought up Mad Max earlier. I don't give a fuck about cars, and I don't give a fuck about, like, you know, watching movies in which those are at the forefront of it and loving the, oh, it's that sort of engine and it's that sort of thing or whatever. But I love Mad Max because I think there's a way in which George Miller uses them as a very thrilling set piece or a very thrilling aspect of the world. So this world is predicated upon cars, motor vehicles, and doing that. Do you guys know how much of the movie goes on where there is not a single race, where there is not a single, like, set piece to do with cars?
About 35 minutes after Race Wars.
Ah! It's like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
We're
establishing the conflict of the story and Brian's choice of what's he going to choose and how's he going to do it?
It's giving you more.
It's not great.
No.
I'll give you that.
No, but
then
Tom,
you get to the end.
You would be complaining. Sorry to cut you off, Frank, but would be complaining if it was just races.
You mean
just cars
Max Fury Road, the movie that is exclusively races, the greatest action film of the last 10 years?
It's exclusively races, is
it's
it?
Races, and they talk like maybe 10% of the movie. If you want to say a movie cannot exist that's like that,
I would love to cut him. I would love to cut him off because Tom has a point. This movie, if they had told stories through the races like Mad Max Fury Road does, fine. But the races are sort of separate to the actual story. A race happens and then the result and then story happens and then there's a race and then more story happens. They're separate entities.
Sure.
But still, when Brian reveals to his girlfriend. Jordana Brewster. That he's a cop.
Mia, yes.
And he's like, and she's like, what? And she's like, you've got to help me save Dom. I'm like, cool, I'm in. Let's go. Let's save him. It lands for me. And
I like that too.
Obviously, the last race where Dom's in the muscle car and they're waiting for the train.
And he pops a wheelie.
Pops a wheelie.
The best.
That is actually kind of great. When the car fully just...
He pops a wheelie in a muscle car. It's just badass.
It's like he turns it into a horse for a sec.
Yeah.
Run like the wind, bullseye.
Oh, yeah.
That I was like, fuck yeah. And then the rest of that sequence I don't really care for.
When he crashes, and then he goes, like, he lets him get away.
Yeah.
And says, I owe you a 10-second car. And then Brian gets bit. Like, What doesn't land for you there? How can that not land for you?
Any of it because I don't care about their dynamic and feel there's a connection between them. And I don't think the movie's done anything to make me feel that between them. And if you point to any given scene between the two of them and go, oh, can't you see they're brothers? No, never.
But the Buster kept him out of handcuffs.
Buster kept him out of handcuffs. And he knows about his dad.
That's true. The Buster kept him out of handcuffs.
Buster!
That's true?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is that maybe the moment?
And then Brian came and saved him from the truck.
You're right. Sorry.
One
great line in the movie.
Shit.
I forgot that's how emotional connections work when someone says one cool thing. No, the rest of the movie's really bad. When they're sitting and they're having lunch together.
That's why I haven't got an emotional connection with you, because you've never said a cool thing.
Also, there's no emotional connection because you never let me speak. This is one side relationship.
Finish 1 second. But
I'm letting you finish.
There's a tricky line at the start of this film, though, that I always cringe at. I know it's coming every time because I've seen this film too many
Bullshit.
Times.
No one likes the tuna here.
No, I wrote it down because I couldn't quote it verbatim, but it's the try fat burger from now on. Get yourself a double cheeseburger with fries for $2.95. F word.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, throws the F slur
at him. As he leaves after his tuna melt.
Which F-U-C? No, 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 not
and
that
the
one.
Line the itself is so convoluted. Yeah, it's like hyper specific.
Such a mouthful. Tell him so that Leon sure. sent you.
Head down the road, take a right, go to Hungry Jack's, get yourself a double quarter pounder, hold the onion.
$2.95. Quarter pounder, Macca's, Hungry Jack's.
Not on Thursdays. That's when Doris works there. She'll drop the burger.
You gotta download the My Macca's app. You get a smart deal: two burgers for $6.95.
Actually, and then can you get me some nuggets?
Your bundle of sticks. Yeah,
takes a breath. F word.
Yes.
And it just throws it in. And it's so like, oh, come on, man. That wasn't necessary. It was, and it's a product of the 90s,
it's
right?
So it takes you out. You're like,
it was
whoa.
Bad. Because the only time they do that in the whole film.
Yeah. It's very much 90s.
They say it in Fast 9, don't they, when they're in space?
And then yeah, they have, you can't hear it because they're wearing scuba suits.
Of course.
And they're misguiding
in
a satellite.
Space?
In space. They're in scuba suits. I'm not
in
kidding.
In a car
I
in space. Because the car is not insulated.
It's,
oh, my gosh.
It's like a Commodore wagon or something dumb with an actual rocket strapped to the back of it. And they're up in space because they have to hit a satellite and misguide that to stop the bad guy from using the satellite.
Do you know what I do love about the two Fast and Furious later films? I forget which ones. The one where they're planning this big heist, like Ocean's 11 style planning the heist. And yeah. then eventually the plan just falls apart. So they go, fuck it, let's drive through the wall
yep.
and strap a chain to the safe and we'll just drive it. We'll just drive out.
And that it gets worse from there.
Oh, that's great.
In number 10, Jason Momoa was the bad guy who's, by the way, so good.
Awesome.
So good.
Sorry, awful. Of course he is. Yeah. He's awful.
No. He's like, it's like Jason Momoa in The Dark Knight. It's like they're like, you can just be the Joker in this film. We don't care, whatever. People are going to call you the Joker. It actually works. It's kind of funny. And he's like painting his nails throughout and he's wearing like little ribbons in his hair and stuff. And he's just like
what
super
a Joker.
Like, just whatever. Anyway, Dom saves the Vatican from a bomb going off.
Great.
Which goes, it rolls, it's a big, it's like the boulder from Raiders.
Yeah.
But it's rolling through Rome and he uses his car, defies all gravity,
yeah.
spins around the front of it, slams on the brakes, flips the bomb into the canal. The bomb then blows up. It saves the Vatican, of course.
The Catholic undertone is great. But
everything,
because he always has a cross on. But
it's insane.
The first three films are not the same series as the last seven.
No.
Well, everything you're different. Saying about these later
from
ones.
From four onward, it completely loses its way.
It becomes they're like.
Finds, I would say, argue finds its way because those films, similar to sort of backtrack on my own point, they know what they are and they're leaning into the ridiculousness. And they're like, it's kids playing with toys and what possibly could we do?
It's G.I. Joe for the mentally challenged.
And they're all superheroes and Dwayne The Rock Johnson is holding a helicopter with a chain with one arm and he's like, yeah, I'm stronger than a helicopter. Like, they're all superhuman.
So they're secret agents.
And like,
they are. They literally turn into
secret
agents.
Sounds better.
And
sounds more fun than this movie.
But let's go back to the Hobbs and Shaw of it all where Jason Statham and The Rock and Vin Diesel, I don't know if Jason Statham, I might. But Vin Diesel and The Rock have clauses in their contracts where they can't be knocked out or they can't lose a fight. So the whole
you
premise,
told me this the other day, and I
the
just,
whole
I'm
premise
stumped.
Of the film is about them fighting each other, right?
Yeah.
But no one can lose. So it's like you punch me, I punch you. We're
the
both
origin
alphas
of the candy ass, right? Wasn't it The Rock called?
Yes.
Was like someone on the film was a candy ass.
Yeah.
And they're like, who? And he's like, I'll never tell. Wink. And everyone's like, so Vin Diesel then. And they like go back and forth, like sending subliminals to each other for like a year before finally they both acknowledge, yeah, we fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
And there was apparently a moment where they both, I've heard this is like conjecture, but apparently they had to do a last movie together. It was in their contract. And one of the producers or someone was like, all right, you guys have to sort this out. Go into this makeup room, go into this trailer, hash it out, work out how you're going to do this. And they're like, all right. And they're in there for hours and they come out. They're like, we've come to an agreement. It's like, all right, great. What is it? We will never work together again. It's like, no! No! They just could not get over how much
that's
they hate
so
each other.
I love the new thing that's coming out in the last 12 months is that The Rock is the worst person alive.
Yeah, but
he's
like,
just like a total dick.
Vin Diesel's also a
Vin
weird
Diesel's
guy.
Insane. Vin Diesel is insane. And all he has is Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Everything in his life is Fast and Furious.
And we should say, this is like the seventh highest grossing film series of all time. Like, it's up
there. Because there's 10 of them.
Just remember, though.
No, but they do make a lot of money.
A lot of them. Some of the most recent ones have made 100, like 700, 800 million.
Yeah.
This has made like, this one made 200 a million.
Yeah, off like a $40 million budget.
It's now like the ninth highest grossing out of the 11th of them. Like, it's right down there. Tokyo Drift, I think, made less.
Yeah.
But this did not make that much, but it was a big enough sensation in 2001. It cracked like
they got to the end of this film as well, just to remember, and went, okay, we're doing a sequel. It's going to have Paul Walker, no Vin Diesel.
And it's like, oh, good. You identified the major problem of the film.
Yeah. And then they got to the end of the second one and went, where'd we go wrong?
They went, oh, Paul Walker and Vin Diesel, get rid of both of them, and let's get a new guy and go to Tokyo.
By the way, it's a good sidestep. If you're going to take a sidestep like that, whatever. Tokyo Drift on its own is pretty enjoyable.
Is Ja Rule in any of them?
No.
I think
he's
busy.
Still driving around the desert. Isn't he doing?
But he's doing Fire Festival at this point. Tokyo Drift. Yeah. The very tail end in the post credits.
Oh, Dom shows up.
Dom shows up. And they go, now we've linked it. We've got him back. Let's connect it all again. And we're going to start again.
Boy, is there a joke here about spoilers? Like spoiler alert, cars have a spoiler.
Can we put a muscle
tail
on
tail end.
But the fact is that
spin your wheels.
Yeah, there was a
burnout.
They had many contract issues with getting back Michelle Rodriguez and all this stuff. Like there was a real thing where they had this sense of entitlement, being like, "We are the Fast and the Furious, and without us, this is not a thing." And then it kept going. They're like, "Fine, fuck, have it then." And then they took the franchise and turned it into this absurd, just
it seems to me
rubbish.
That, yeah, you hate the back end, but the back end's where all the money and all the legacy has come from.
I know. This is the part I don't understand. I like this film a standalone because I think that it does feel very grounded. You go back to the scene where they're jacking the truck and it's just a dude who's
doing quad in the truck?
They're jacking on the truck.
Okay.
And jacking on the truck.
Okay. I was not watching this movie properly.
I think it all feels very raw and a bit cheap and a bit like...
And the stunts feel like real and lived in and it's like...
Yeah.
And again, obviously, that's
not
what
too
happens.
Much. It's like, it's viable. Like, it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, it feels very heightened. Like, who's jacking these trucks? Also, why are the truck drivers not swerving?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the truck drivers are so dumb.
They're giving them so much time to fire this harpoon into the seat next to them and the driver's just sitting there just being like...
Well, do you know what I love is the cap between idea. They've got the truck driver here point of view, like the front point of view. It's the truck driver just driving straight, doesn't flinch, doesn't do anything.
Not even
and
looking.
Then it cuts to inside the cabin and the truck driver's like, hey, get out of here. And then it cuts back
it's
and he's
taken him
sitting
a minute to register.
Dead still.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of weird that Brian O'Connor, he's kind of just like tapped into the idea that the truck drivers are now going to start fighting back because he doesn't have any extra info.
Does
the truck driver has a shotgun? Like, is that revealed at what point?
So not that they have a shotgun,
but they're going to be fighting back.
Yeah.
But doesn't he say they're not going to lay down forever or something? And now it's just like, and he got it right because he knew that this time.
No, they talked about it in the...
The cops have spoken about this in like the previous scene.
So
right.
They've had enough. This is it.
You weren't watching this movie properly.
No. I agree. Whenever there were moments where it was like he breaks into the warehouse, gets caught in there, and they're like, what were you doing in there? And he's like, I'm doing this because Hector was ordering this. And then Johnny Tran, he's like, all right, well, let's go back to Johnny Tran's warehouse. And they go in there, and then they bring the guy in, and they fill his mouth up with oil.
Oh,
and then they go, he talks to the cops, and they're like, wow, he's got all these DVDs and all this. And I'm like, I don't really, this shit is stupid. Like, there's not enough here to matter. And so there are moment-to-moment
scenes. Because DVD players are worthless?
Yeah, that's it. That's why.
But Tom, you're missing the overall theme here.
Which is?
Family.
Fast.
Vroom, vroom. Oh. Go boom, boom.
Family
gas
everything.
In the bomb bomb. A doom bomb.
Oh, wow.
I did
forgot
arrive,
how it went already.
I did arrive at the realization.
Watching the
guys in their cars and the different colors and using the NOS and all this. This is anime for rev heads.
Yes,
like that's
absolutely.
Kind of what it is, and it's like, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a particularly well-made one, because that sounds like way more fun than it is when I watch it. But the NOS and the ways that they can like up their speed by pressing buttons.
So stupid.
It's like an anime thing where it's like, well, you haven't seen my final move. Check this out. But it's like, oh, I didn't know he had that move. And that's what this movie is. I press a button and I go faster.
The thing that I hate about
stupid.
It. Paul Walker's so first, stupid. Paul Walker's first race where he's got the NOS and he does it. You know, 60% of the way down
stage two, three on the laptop.
Yeah, does the NOS.
Stupid.
And then Dom Toretto does it later. And of course, he wins because,
because it's
like,
about timing. Obviously.
Yeah, so that's not complicated. Any fucking guy can figure that out.
When Jesse's racing Johnny Tran and he's like, too quick, young buck. And I'm like, yeah, I could have fucking told him that.
We saw that in the first race.
Until you're close to the end and then press the button.
It's not complicated,
but they're just basically like, nah, my button does more.
I've got more buttons than you.
I've got more buttons. That's all it is.
That bugs me because it's
so stupid.
Because it doesn't make Dom he's not like...
Doesn't make you a better driver.
No. If you are braver and are willing to push the limits, maybe that's cool. Like, you have the bravery and courage to go that fast and to be that on the edge of... control. Because they don't show that. They don't show speed wobbles. They don't show anything that's like, if you swerve, you're dead.
Well, no. They do when Paul Walker.
Brian's the only one that falls happens
apart.
With. Yes.
Yeah. Falls apart. Yeah, but.
Because he pushed it past its limit. Like, you've got to know your limit.
Because his car sucks. That doesn't make him a bad driver. Look, I think you want to see the danger of if you're driving at 200 miles an hour, 320 k's an hour, and you if you twitch
different
on the wheel.
Sets. Different skill sets.
Different
what's,
buttons.
What skill sets?
Well, you
what,
press skill a button set? Later, okay. Then someone out. Else pressed a button.
Yeah, good skill set.
That's a great skill
hear
set.
Hear me out. Hear me out. In the races that they're doing, it's a straight line, right? So it's all about timing. It's about knowing the timing on that, right? It's also about how much you have under the hood. They talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
What do you got under the hood?
Well, then you're not going to race Dom Toretto because you know he's got the best
advantages,
car.
Advantages, whatever.
Why would you bother racing if you know he's got a better car than you?
Because that's designing
you're,
new vehicles.
You're
the whole point is these guys are engineering their own vehicles too.
But he's like, the best driver. He's meant to be like...
No. But this is where I want you to hear me out. And then he gets picked up by Brian, right? Remember when he's running from the cops?
Mm-hmm.
And as Brian's driving and swerving past the cops and doing all this evasive shit, you've got Dom grabbing the ceiling of the roof of the car and he's just like, oh, shit. Like,
you're
this
a good driver.
Driving.
What are you, a pickup driver?
This is
you've
different
done this
driving.
Yeah, I'm not saying Brian's a bad driver. I'm not saying Brian's a bad driver. I'm saying the race war, the drag race situation is dumb.
Agreed.
And it doesn't it doesn't show what
race wars
makes
dumb.
It doesn't show what
all
makes
race wars are dumb. Yes.
It doesn't show what makes them good drivers. It just shows them pressing buttons and going fast.
I think the most convincing thing you've said, Marcus, that I agree with is seeing Vin Diesel out of his element briefly in this movie.
Sure.
When Paul's driving him in that first bit and then a stupid fucking sequence, but it did make me laugh when they raced the middle-aged man in the Ferrari.
Awesome.
It's like, more than you could afford. All right. And it's like, guess we're drag racing these guys.
I love the lines. Like, how much does that cost? He's like, oh, if you saved your salary for 100 years, you can probably afford a wing nut or something.
It's so
like,
dumb. You just want one of them to pull out a gun, like just shoot a tire or something. Yeah. But then when he's driving there and Vin Diesel puts his arm and he's just like, oh, what's this guy doing?
Yeah.
I like that. I'm already going to say I'm a little bit throwing in here just because I'm like, that's a tiny bit of the texture that I need in the actual racing that is storytelling and that is character development.
Yes.
I also like the Buster kept me out of handcuffs.
Yeah.
It's a good line.
It does. But going back to my point is most of the races don't tell a story. They
agreed.
Seem like segregated points. The evasive driving and that sort of stuff does tell a story because it shows that Brian has skill and courage and bravery and all that stuff. But the normal street races just don't really do much. They show that Dom is
That's just the flair that these rev heads want. That's what you're giving.
Yeah, but as
you're
a,
the
fanboys
of this stuff, what exactly?
Yeah,
what
but
they
as a
want.
Moviegoer and someone who wants a narrative, why don't they do both?
Yeah, but tell that to the thousands of people that loved this franchise and this film when it came out.
Which
it's
is huge.
But they don't do drag racing anymore,
and that's the thing as well. That I think that. It would be false to say if I had a friend of mine who was in Monde who'd never watched this series.
Friend of mine.
24 friend of mine. And he was really into cars and really into street racing. And I was like, you should watch this movie. It's all about street racing. He'd watch it and be like, you fucking lied to me. No, it's not all about street racing.
It's about
there's
family.
A little bit of street racing in it.
Yeah.
And there's some really shitty acting and some really weak attempts at characterization.
I think you'd be
a
bit harsh.
Couple of, well, I think Paul Walker, who is essentially the lead, is very, very bad at this.
But
if we haven't established that, he's very, very bad at this.
Dreamy blue eyes.
His eyes are insane.
That's the best part of his performance. The opening where it just zooms in on the windshield and his eyes, I was like, oh my God. And then...
yeah, and I mean it from there.
But that's it. They've just given the helm to someone. And look, I think as a bonus, he could actually drive and he backed it with being like, well, I'm going to do a lot of the stunts myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's in there as the good-looking kid that's going to get the girls fucking hot under the collar. Like... For real, though.
Hot
like,
under the bonnet.
He's a good leading man. He doesn't have to be that talented.
Similar to Keanu Reeves. Doesn't do a lot, looks good.
I think Keanu's far more engaging. And I think
Keanu's a worse actor.
That is the most. That is silly. That's a silly
it's not.
Thing.
I would love say, Keanu. Very, I love Keanu.
To go to if Keanu's the Chris Pine, actor. Chris M., these two, Paul Walker, Keanu Reeves, are like very comparable.
That's an interesting point. I think Keanu Reeves is a better movie star. Than Paul Walker is an actor.
Yeah well,
so
no.
It's like, which is me essentially saying, even if Paul Walker had, which I don't necessarily agree with, but if we were to say that Paul Walker had better acting chops than Keanu Reeves is a better presence. Definitely. Definitely more engaging presence. I just think it's crazy to put those two next to each other and consider The Matrix or Speed or, you know, now the John Wick series. And I know Keanu had longer in his life.
Do we look at choices and go, what? I mean, Paul Walker couldn't do The Matrix.
No. But or Bill and Ted couldn't have done that.
Yeah, okay. I don't think so. That's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
I think but I don't know. I like Paul Walker. I like Into the Blue with Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
And they're just
You're one of three people who saw that movie.
Into the Blue, Fool's Gold. They're great movies. Yeah. Suntan people.
Of your person. If we went Inside Out 2 into your head, sense of self at the bottom is just Into the Blue and Fool's Gold.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm okay with that. Six Matthew McConaughey's eating popcorn in his head.
They're all very tan. I'm just jealous.
Have I told you, I got a Fool's Gold DVD from, like, my dad brought home a bunch of illegal DVDs from Thailand, and he had, like, Fool's Gold.
No wonder your mother left him.
Not how it happened.
I forgot.
Yeah, thanks,
it was
man.
Tom's fault.
Really got my back there.
We forgot it was Tom's fault.
Wow, you're discrediting Tom's role in that entirely.
Oh, that was fucking comedy gold.
My father brought home all these DVDs, these illegal DVDs from Thailand, and one of them was Fool's Gold, and it said down the bottom, a rip-roaring thrill ride, in quotes, and then, like, you couldn't see what the quote was from, and I tried looking it up years later, and it's like, that quote doesn't exist. I'm convinced it was you. Like, you wrote that on, like, MySpace back in the day, and they're like, thank you, and they took that and put it on.
Frank Kerr.
They didn't put it on the poster, just the illegal Thailand DVD of it. Bad movie.
Back to the film. I think Vince.
Who?
He's the antagonist from the group, the one that hates
Leon.
Brian. No, I think it's Vince.
Isn't it Leon?
It's Vince.
Am I wrong? My bad. I thought we were talking about Leon, but we could be wrong.
No. Anyway.
Vince. Yeah, Vince.
Right, my bad.
Vince, he just hates Paul Walker. He's just like jealous because he's into Mia, this whole thing. I think as far as antagonists go, I think he's pretty great. I don't mind him. He's just a bit sort of like chumpish. You know, but he kind of works.
Not a lot
the flavor
to it, but I think
bit.
He's fine.
I don't mind that at all.
Yeah.
I really love Michelle Rodriguez, right?
She's got great presence in this.
I've never liked her.
Really? I think she's so unique.
So simmy.
And powerful and so sexy in this film, by the way. I'm just going to say that.
She established very quickly, like this.
Who does she remind you of, pal?
Yeah. I love it. I love a strong woman.
Yeah.
She's literally like, at one point in the house, she's like, hey, Dom, why don't you take me upstairs and give me a massage?
Yeah.
And I was like,
and he's just gone home from running from the cops.
Yeah.
And she's like, massage time, bucko.
Literally. It's not like, I'll take you upstairs and I'll give you a massage. She's like, you give me a massage. I fucking love that.
The scene in the garage where she rips open his shirt and he lifts her up. I was like, oh, it's dance. Kind of like that.
Good reaction. Yeah.
I'd absolutely. Have a tingle.
Yes. And Michelle Rodriguez, I do agree. She's very, very like sexy in a way that I think at this time
was not
the standard way. She was very, very like masculine in a sense, least she was very aggressive and assertive, but it worked.
The tough chick type, you didn't have that.
And she got pretty cold in the face, I'd say, with Michelle. Like doesn't give you a lot.
I would argue a softer version, but like Sigourney Weaver kind of set the template there, where you kind of go the tough action star who's also sexy, and then Michelle Rodriguez kind of takes it in the 2000s. But the scene that made me laugh because it's so unintentionally funny now is when the girls come up to Dom at the race and they're like, hey, Dom. And she's like, you better get out of here before I leave skid marks on your face. And I'm like, is she going to wipe?
No. She goes, what is that?
Smell skank. But then threatens to wipe their faces on her ass and leave skid marks on their face. Like, no, I know it's a driving reference, but
come on,
the
come
second
on, man.
She said skid marks,
get
I was
your
like,
mind out of the
Michelle,
gutter. Just because you shit all over everything.
The cops at one point, the same joke, one of the cops who is in charge of Paul Walker's character.
Ted Levine.
Yeah. And
so
he's,
good.
He's just
great
like
seeing him.
Something about identifying the skid marks as Doms. And
all
the same
time. Like,
okay.
So
giggle.
Michelle and Dom
just
all over town. Leaving skid marks
all over town. There's a couple fetish thing going on there.
Dom's been here. Oh, really? You can see his car? No, not his car.
I think that this is a good little, like, almost gangster film. It's like a little with just cars thrown in. It's grounded. It's like the whole thing's just about stealing DVDs and hijacking trucks
and stuff. It's so low scale, and that's what makes it
kind of great.
Good. What do we, and we don't, obviously, you don't like Jesse, the kid who does all the programming. What do you feel about when he gets gunned down by the the drive-by
that's
Uzi
directly
shooting.
Taken from. Have you seen Menace to Society?
Yeah,
that's directly. That's truly lifted from the final drive-by Menace to Society.
It's and been I'm like, done too much.
He's literally when he's on the ground and he's scrambling. Running like that on all fours.
Yeah.
That is what happens. It's the same scene. So I'm like, well, that pisses me off because that's from a better movie to start with. But also, Jesse, who I know is suggested to be like ADD or ADHD or on the spectrum, but when he shows up to the house and Paul Walker's pointing a gun at Dom and he's like, hey guys, I just don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. So what's going on here anyway? Like, doesn't acknowledge whatever the fuck's happening.
Read the room, dude, man.
I mean, he's having a time.
He's having a time, but
he's
still
obviously in the middle of a breakdown.
I look at a scene like that logically and I'm annoyed at the timing of the Yakuza knowing he's there at that time, and like it's all very,
it's all circumstantial,
and,
so the story can happen. Yes,
that pisses
and also
me off.
The fact that we said this, but in Race Wars, when Jesse loses and then he just drives away, and you're like, what? At what point do we care about him and this car and his dad who's in prison who we've never met?
We don't care.
Yeah,
and no.
So then the movie
we don't
does too much of that, in my opinion, where it goes, you care about this, remember? I'm like, do I?
No. Mm. I would agree that I don't.
Do
I
a little
did.
Bit less. Like, just make Jesse the younger brother or whatever,
but
and then they
the,
shoot him.
It's more to the point, I think, that it affects Dom, and you see that, and you go, well, this is my family. My family's now breaking. Right?
Is family important to Dom Toretto?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
Is it?
We're
is
have
that
to
mentioned?
Look that up if we can.
www.google.
www.domtoretto.com. It's just family. Comic Sans.
He's very much leaning into and committing to the idea that his most important value is family. So when this happens, it's more of a Dom thing than it is a whatever his name is.
Yeah, I'm more of a sub.
When we use Dom by itself like that, it gets a little weird. Can I say literally one more thing? And
Last thing.
I think it's a little weird that this movie pitches or is pitched as not only a movie about street racing, which it's not, but a movie about, if you read synopsis of it or if you read people's retrospectives of it.
Did we do a synopsis?
We'll
do it later.
Maybe vaguely. But well, I think if you read it, it'll say like, Brian has to choose between his new family and the police. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. That is never, ever the choice that's made in the movie.
Yeah.
He clearly is always on the police's side, and he never goes like, God, what am I going to do? I have this new family now.
Yes,
that's not the movie.
I agree. It's that's really not a point of tension for them.
Weirdly gets put out there as if that's the choice or the conflict.
I think that's almost like backtracking because later on
that's it.
In the
but
series.
People are bringing that to the first movie and applying it. It's like, that's not in the text. No. You are bringing
but
that from other things.
He doesn't hand them in after the truck, saving them from the truck thing.
That's,
He lets Dom go with his 10-second car. Like,
it's a trade-off, but it's not him choosing them. He goes back to his law enforcement job, right?
He's covered for them.
I don't think
there's a conflict of interest. So he's already given up his values as a cop.
I don't think it's ever
he made his choice
as prominent or as affecting as it is in Donnie Brasco, or the better example, Point Break, where you do really feel Keanu Reeves falling for Bodie. You do actually feel that sense that
I can't.
Keanu Reeves.
I agree that tension isn't there. Anyway,
it doesn't exist.
We are wrapping it up.
Yeah,
so who's throwing
it in?
Throwing
the power.
Oh,
throwing the power. I could go to like a 4.8, and I think that's really on Marcus just convincing me that yes, there's a.
What
little,
about me?
Sorry. Wait your turn. I take your point. I do like the idea of Dom sort of gaining more respect for Paul and being put out of his comfort zone when he's in the car and Paul's driving. And those, I did forget that was a moment of his performance I liked a lot when they were dragging the Ferrari. I was just kind of like, yep, that's got an interesting texture to it. Yeah, 4.7 or 4.8. I like it a little more.
I'm staying.
I'll go down to 7.5. We'll leave it there. But it's only a 3.3 drop. It's hard.
3.3 drop.
Yeah, 0.3.
He was at 10.8. Just above the movie.
It was nearly perfect.
I still love this film. I'm just so disappointed. I'm not even angry. I'm disappointed with where it went.
Yeah.
The series.
It's
I'm
so,
the, almost
it's
the other way around.
Maddening.
I like it. It gets crazy.
Vroom, vroom. Throw in the pack.
Thanks for listening to Throwing the Power. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Tom.
Vroom, vroom. That was Fast and the Furious. 2001.
It was.
Tell us your favorite Fast and the Furious movie in our Instagram. Give us an Instagram.
Frank's having a stroke.
Check your social media. It's called Frank on Instagram.
Oh, hey, pals at gmail.com. Bye.